Welcome to Word of Hope Ministries. Bible teacher Perry Stelter has been in ministry for over 10 years with Indigenous and non-Indigenous people seeking biblical reconciliation. His passion is making the Bible come alive. As Perry's wife, I, Angie, have seen God set the direction for this ministry since day one. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now here's Bible teacher Perry Stelter.
Hello everybody, I hope you're all having a wonderful day today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin our message today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the country of Canada. I thank you in Jesus' name for all the listeners. I thank you for all the stations that are broadcasting the gospel message. And I pray that you would meet all the listeners with where they're at in regards to whatever difficulties they may be facing. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, we're continuing in our series in the Gospel of Matthew. Today's message is titled Ask, Seek, Knock, and Repeat. When I think of how any child approaches their parent or guardian when they want something, they usually don't ask for what they want only once. In fact, if there is resistance from the older person and the response is wait, or if the answer is no, the approach from the child will usually go from asking to begging and screaming. So keeping that in mind, when we're looking at our lesson today from the Gospel of Matthew, it isn't that we come to the Creator, come to God, come to Jesus, and beg until we get an answer of yes. That isn't how God works. Sometimes the answer is wait, and sometimes the answer is no, but God always has His reasons for each answer. So let's jump into this story today and see what we can uncover and see how it relates to our lives. When we read Matthew chapter 5 to 7, what we are doing is reading what has been called the Sermon on the Mount. So when we come in on our passage of Scripture today, we are coming near the end of Jesus' address to His disciples of what He expected of them. He talks about being blessed, hypocrisy, murder, adultery, divorce, and of course, asking, seeking, and knocking, which is our topic today. All these topics are part of this famous Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives. So this is the context of what's going on today as we are going over our story. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. When we read our story today from the words of Jesus here in Matthew, and we're about to see the words from our titles, Asking, Seeking, Knocking, and Repeat. When we look at the original language, we see this is a persistent type of repetition in these words. As one expert has said, this type of asking is a constant type of asking, seeking, and knocking. And so let's take a closer look at this passage and see what we can discover. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 10. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? And so here we have the very words of Jesus. Here we see a picture of our relationship with God, but also of our relationship with family members. We see Jesus using examples that are right in front of us. We see Him talking about a house, about bread, a stone, a fish, a serpent, all of these aspects of life that were familiar to the people at that time, but yet are so familiar to us today as well.
Song of all songs is a song we sing. Heaven's symphony. Songs of love to you from us all. Songs of praise, you're the one we adore. We're gonna sing out loud as heaven hears us. Heaven's symphony. Songs of love to you from us all. Songs of praise, you're the one we adore. We're gonna sing out loud as heaven hears us.
Interesting aspect of this description of coming to the creator of the universe for help, for guidance, for love and support is that we carry the responsibility of taking the initiative of approaching God with whatever the problem is or the dilemma we find ourselves in. So we get the picture here that God loves to look after his children as part of the family of God. But he wants us to come to him and let him know about what we need. God already knows our thoughts, and so nothing surprises him. Amen. But he still wants us to come to him and specifically lay these things before him, even though he already knows all about them. Verses 11 to 12, Jesus still speaking. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. When Jesus says here that you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, it's talking about the fact that we are all born with a sinful nature. We all struggle with sin, but yet we still want to be good to our children. And even those who haven't believed in Jesus yet and are still totally separated from God, there's still an inclination there to still do good things for your family members. And so Jesus is saying, if this is the situation with humans, how much more our Heavenly Father in heaven likes to answer the prayers of those who ask Him. The reason we see Jesus once again saying that you, the reader, are evil was to make a separation between Jesus' divinity and sinless nature and the sinful nature that all human beings are born with. Like I said, even when we are saved, we still struggle with sin until the day we die. I think as Indigenous people, for those of you who are Indigenous that are listening, we tend to do this more frequently in the sense of spoiling our kids rather than just waiting for birthdays or Christmas. I'm not sure why we are that way. It just seems like overall that's how we act with our children. We tend to spoil them in certain ways. So let's look at another passage of scripture. Luke 11 verses 9 to 13. And I tell you, and this is Jesus speaking again, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? And so here we see Luke saying something very similar to what Matthew wrote. My point was that we often see the writers of Scripture saying the same thing as other writers of Scripture have said. All I know is that I don't think I'd ever want a scorpion or a snake as a gift from one of my parents. Amen. There is a pattern going on here in Matthew, but it's not a magical pattern that if you just follow this pattern, you'll always get a yes answer. We see the pattern of asking, seeking, and knocking. Asking, seeking, and knocking. Asking, seeking, and knocking. This is telling us not to give up. The words will be given and will be opened anticipate God's response to our continual asking, seeking, and knocking. That's what the scholars say. Then the scholars go on to say, verse 8 balances the three commands of verse 7 with three verbs of receiving, finding, and opened, which emphasize God's unfailing response to those who seek His presence. As I said, the text is not intended as a magical formula for manipulating God through sheer tenacity in prayer. The scholars say, the object of our asking and seeking is best understood considering the petitions outlined earlier in the Lord's Prayer. In chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. How lovely is your dwelling. We'll be right back. 11 verses 9 to 13 here, continuing, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" And so asking the Heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit, for the leading of the Holy Spirit, is so vital in wanting a strong relationship with God in your life. Having God in your life always involves God the Father and His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's a package deal. All three have always existed, and all three are fully God. Amen. And so one of the things we ask for is the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you already have the Holy Spirit in your life. You already have Jesus in your life. You already have sweet communion with our Heavenly Father. But these are all things to think about as you're going through this passage. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Jeremiah knew the secret to this asking, seeking, and knocking. It's all about how the state of your heart and soul is. Whether a person is coming to the Creator for salvation or whether they're coming to God for renewal and restoration, which we all need, this needs to be how we come to our Heavenly Father, asking, seeking, and knocking. Even in Old Testament times, before Jesus was born and died on the cross, and even before the Holy Spirit was left on the deposit as a guarantee to come, the prophets saw such an importance in coming to God and how we come to God. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And so here we see the importance of this invitation being time sensitive. The fact of the matter is that our lives are short, and none of us knows when our time on earth is up. So it's important to be sensitive to coming to God while we feel that connection, regardless of the reasons for feeling the need to come to God. But as we grow in our relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to know when these times are happening. John 4:10 says, "Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.'" And so here we have Jesus and the woman at the well. Many people don't truly realize who Jesus is and what he can do for them. And for us who know who Jesus is, We need to know there is no request too small or too big to bring to Him. Even if we're not sure if it's God's will, we need to ask anyways. With enough godly counsel, enough reading of Scripture, and enough asking of the Holy Spirit to help you understand and discern different things, it will become more clear as time goes on. Amen. Amen.
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams, in my darkest hour. You are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me?
So the title once again of our message today, Ask, Seek, Knock, and Repeat. There are so many different things in our lives where we will feel the need to come to our Heavenly Father and ask for help. It is not up to us to determine what the answer to that request is, but we can be rest assured that we will receive an answer either way. Just as in human relationships, either a yes or a no or a wait. It's up to us to have an active type of waiting going on in our lives as we're waiting for God to give us an answer on any particular request. It's still up to us to stay active and to still doing constructive things in our lives as we're waiting for that response. And sometimes when we come to God and let's say we're asking for a healing, family member is sick, and we don't think that the prayer was answered according to what we wanted, it can cause frustration. And the fact of the matter is, there will be a lot of situations where we don't know why God answered the prayer the way he did. There are many things that'll have to wait until we get to heaven. And the fact of the matter is that when we get to heaven, we may not even be concerned about those things anymore. And so I know a lot of times we'll say to people, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this, or I'm going to ask God that. Well, if we're entering the presence of God where there's no more crying, no more weeping, no more death, no more disease, no more heartache, no more sin, then my thoughts are, why would we even want to know the answer? But all of this will be made clear when our lives are over. And so let's, as disciples of Jesus Christ, stay active. Let's stay on track with regards to what God through Jesus Christ is asking us to do. Jesus gave this famous Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5 to 7 of Matthew. And there are many different topics within that. But Jesus was saying, here are a lot of main things I want you to focus on as you are living out your lives as disciples of myself. This is what Jesus was saying. You are my disciple. You are a child of God. These are different guidelines to follow as you are building the kingdom of God in your lifetime. And so may God help us all as we're trying to do just that. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for all the listeners. I pray in Jesus' name that you would give us strength, that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us discernment as we are trying our best to live for you. And if we're not trying our best, then I pray that we would try harder. I pray that it would not always take some disaster or some crisis to happen in our lives before you get our attention. I pray that we would learn to serve you and be obedient to you in the good times and the bad times. In the times of crisis and in the times when we feel like we're floating on a cloud, where we're feeling very victorious. Help us, Lord, with all of this. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Word of Hope Ministries with Bible teacher Perry Stelter. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. For more information, go to wordofhopeministries.ca.